B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb!
Go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb!
Wall dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Hello! This is the guy from Machine.
Guy from Machine.
Come see me. And it wouldn't be 98 Mile without your favorite bartender in the city. Come to the Machine, 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 Machine. This one's for you, Fredette. Sports are the jam. It's the place where the hosts are schlubby. And the co-host, chubby. Except Fred, he will be my hubby. Hello! All your hosts should come here soon.
Come to Machine
and check your boom boom. I'll be happy. I'll sing my tune. I'll boopity boop with a boom boom boom. Come to Machine today. Get your boom boom on the floor tonight. Bring Remy. Come to Machine today. Save that guy named Dennis Eckersley. Just for me. Check that boom boom. Check that boom boom. Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Dennis. Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
A rugged double bear. Check that boom boom for me. This is the guy from Machine. Check that boom boom.
Wave the flag, honey. The gay flag power.
Hello.
Check that boom boom. Come to the Machine, 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 Machine. Check that boom boom. See you Friday or Saturday night. Bye. Check that boom boom for me.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Wallach is in the Town Fair Tire Studios. I will be joining him as of Monday.
Very exciting. Can't
wait. I'm done with this self-quarantine, baby. Don't you worry. I'll be in there. I get to be in the car by myself. I get to see other people. It's going to be exceptionally exciting.
Now, is Zolak sitting in your chair?
That is what I've been told. No. I think he did it to be a prick.
I mean, was he told to do that? Because, I mean, they are the two most distant chairs. If everybody's back, you know, it would make sense that someone would be in the far chair where Wallach is. And then you put somebody in the middle, because there's five chairs, and you would be the other furthest one. So is that what they're planning on doing, is having Zolak use your chair?
I thought they were only allowing two people in studio at
a
time.
Yeah, here's what it is. I have been sitting in your chair. When I am co-hosting with Fred, Joe Murray sits here in my spot, and then I will sit in your spot, Rich. During the shift change, they don't want the two new people coming in to sit where the two old people were. So Hardy will sit in the chair in between Joe and I, and then in order to keep Zoe as distant from Hardy as possible, the most distant chair is Fred's chair.
So he does whole show. They did the whole show there yesterday.
Yes, he did the whole show there yesterday.
Well, he won't be able to do that then on Monday because you can't do back. This is so stupid.
No, but there'll be nobody in position two, Fred.
Yeah, so he'll be able to sit in my chair.
You'll never get coronavirus now. I mean,
we're all good.
We're all safe.
No worries.
Well, did you hear the story about what happened in Tampa? So there's, I mean, this is crazy. I saw the story came out yesterday that there's a radio station in Tampa where three different on air people got the coronavirus, and none of them work on the same show. They just work in the same studio.
Well, I mean,
so it's just
thanks,
well,
Rich.
If you're gonna get it, gonna get it.
I mean, that's the old Beasley cluster there. It was like down there, three different employees. It was like one's the morning show, one's the midday, and one's the afternoon.
I wonder if they followed the protocol of having people shift every show. If they followed that protocol, no one would have gotten it. So good. I'm glad this is the cutting edge medical stuff. that they're doing in the studio. It's just musical chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is.
Are they going to put up the poker, the partitions that we've heard? They're going to be. They're rumored to have like the old blackjack table partitions.
Those a lot of things on
yet?
The table, Rich. There's a lot of balls in the air, as they say.
Okay.
Proposals being thrown around. You're trying to trying to work numbers in there with six positions and three people each time. So it's there's a lot of back and forth. I've heard.
Well,
nothing has been
set
in stone, but
yeah, no one's going to have any contact with each other. You're just, I mean, sometimes you just got to let it roll, baby. Sometimes you just got to say, keep yourself sanitized.
Wipe it down, yep.
Maybe, mm-hmm. Yeah, wipe it down. Maybe take off the mic fluff. You know, put on your own mic fluff.
Oh, everybody, you haven't been here yet. Yeah, we all have been given our own individual mic flags.
Yes. Little condoms that we can put on ourselves.
Well,
you have to take it with you each and every time, yeah.
There you have it. So, listen, I'm looking forward to finding all the ins and outs of what the scientific research says about where to sit and what to do. I will, and then I'll wash my hands every time I pee. Don't worry about it.
Hey,
you can shake my hand. It will be nice.
Well, you'll
and
have
clean.
To check the bathroom to make sure there's only two people in there.
That's right.
Well, we should hope so that there's only two people in there or one person in there. I mean, at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning? I mean, but then again...
You never know, Fred. You never know.
Well, once the sales staff's back, I mean, all things are off the table. I mean, you could at one point have four people in there. Because they all come in and take a dump. That's the first thing they all do.
Double barrel.
The company dime. That is the best way to do it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're really sticking it to the man. Yeah, so they go in there, and if you don't know, the salespeople come in around 8:39. And so for the longest time, you have the bathroom pretty much to yourself. There's not a lot of people taking dumps. And then right around 8:30, I mean, it is a zone. It is a disaster area. It is a garbage dump because the salespeople come in. And obviously on their commute, something happens, and they have to go to the bathroom at work as soon as they get here. And they're not shy about it because they've been conditioned. I think part of the sales training for the male sales staff is to come in and immediately take a dump to get yourself going.
Fred, the best part about it, Mike and I were just laughing, is that there's a certain individual, the pants were on the ground in the bathroom.
Everything just went
all the way to the tile floor, and you're like, oh, okay, all right.
Closers get to take a dump. Only closers get coffee, baby. But
you know they're there because the studio becomes like 5 degrees hotter. It's like, it's like the warmth that's generating from that restroom.
Some front just moved through.
And then Zolak comes in and immediately takes a dump.
Yep.
But he has been in locker rooms for too long. So he's very free with his body and all the things that come out of it.
And he's toned it down since before when we started. When we started, it was the Wild West for him when he walked in, if you all remember what it was like.
I have seen his genitalia and
everything
else. But, they come right in. So that should be interesting. So basically, don't go to the bathroom after 8:30. You know, pee when you got to pee. Well, it's going to be exciting times once we go in there. So
the sales department isn't coming back anytime soon, though, right?
No,
like I don't know.
So I've heard. There's going to be rotating. It's the whole thing, Rich. But at that point, when we're here in the morning, we won't encounter as many people as we used to.
Okay.
So when do they start allowing 25% of the people in?
That's kind of happening. There's a little, you know, they call it a soft opening. A little bit more people are starting to show up in the earlier hours, but then there are people that come in later. You know. So from the time that we're here, there's the normal influx of people that have been here for the entire time that work at other radio stations. Now you're starting to see some of the office folk come in as the morning goes on.
Well, I'll tell you is that I saw the salesperson, Dan Alperin, and he said that he was working at home and kicking ass.
Oh, is that right?
That's the quote.
Is that right?
He's working from home and kicking ass.
Good for him.
There's a mask with your name on it that he got you somewhere here, Frank.
Yeah.
Really? Maybe you could give me an endorsement.
No, perhaps just a mask.
You got to crawl before you walk, Fred.
Now, what is the mask
saying? He's not killing it that hard.
I didn't say I was.
It says the name of the mask company. He wants to take a picture of you in it.
Exactly.
I mean, John's got an endorsement, for God's sakes.
So what's the world coming to?
I have to throw it to him so he can read his sponsor during this stack.
Yep.
So there you go. All right. Well, so much going on today. Who could ever imagine so much news at one day? And I guess the big news is Ron Manfred over there talking to the Green Man. Greeny. And is that what we were going to talk about, Rich, to lead things off?
We are going to start with that, because if you like disaster television, this was awesome last night. I even texted John, and I said, dude, that might have been one of the worst appearances. I don't think he could have handled it any worse, and it was just a symphony of destruction, in the words of Dave Mustaine.
What do you think? I don't support your system. I have to. So, yes, I don't think he's long for the job, but we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, last night was a disaster for a man who is going to lose his job, or at least should very soon.
Well, remember, Fred, less than a week ago when Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said this clip?
And lastly, the percent of a chance we're playing Major League Baseball this year.
100%.
Yeah. Well, last night, that very same guy went on ESPN and said this clip.
I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure. The best opportunity to make an agreement is always to get into a room face-to-face, discuss the issues, and try to find a cooperative path forward.
All right, this guy's adult. So we had Karabas on yesterday. By the way, the agreement that the players signed in March, they can't go back on it. I mean, Manfred can go. This is the language in the contract is that he is in control. And according to Karabas, he knows a bunch of players that didn't even bother to read the thing. So the union is arguing over something that they actually signed. Second of all, he can unilaterally decide to have a season regardless. He has the power just to schedule a season. I for the life of me, I don't understand what his deal is.
They have to
abide by the contract they signed in March. And or you can unilaterally, by your power as commissioner, to just make a season.
There is a problem, though.
Well, the other thing is, too, is that I want to get to what one of the players said yesterday, because he spelled it out better than anyone else so far. But this, as you said, Fred, it's a cluster F. And so here we are after a long weekend, which may have ended the 2020 baseball season. So on Friday, Major League Baseball told the players, hey, I know you said no additional pay cut, but here's another one. But for 72 games, it's 70% what you were going to make. One day later, the Players Association said, we said no more pay reductions. We assume the negotiations are at an end. You can force a season. Tell us when and where. And that's when things really went sideways, because at that point, the owners started to believe that the Players Association was going to sue the league, saying that they had not fulfilled their obligation under that agreement you were talking about on March 26th to play the most games possible, which they are now deeming a bad faith tactic. So in that agreement,
they're
Fred,
right, by the way.
Yeah,
they're absolutely right. It says in good faith, but I don't. What's
but it,
the
no,
legal
but it
definition?
Also says we will. Well, also says that they agreed to play the most games possible, and that's where the players are like, well, this isn't the most. You tell us when to play, we're going to play, but it better be according to this agreement that it's the most games possible. So, Rob Manfred, how bad are things? Clip.
We are running out of time. The clock is ticking on this. But the key, the important first step is a willingness on the part of the MLBPA to get back at the table and engage in the process.
Yeah. So
why should they? Why should they go back? The owners have been, and Fred and I talked about this yesterday, the owners have offered salary-wise $1.4, $1.5 billion, and they've dressed it up five or six different ways, but they haven't offered to pay any more money. So the players are finally wise to this and say, why should we bother negotiating anymore? You know, just if you give us a 54-game season and fully prorated, that's 33% of our salary for the year. That's what we were going to get anyway, regardless of if it's 72 games or whatever the case may be. Just tell us when we're going to play. The money's going to be the same anyway.
Yeah. So the other thing
and,
about
and they're beholden to that contract, even with the BS negotiating good faith clause. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing, too, is that last night, Fred, if that whole interview was crazy because Rob Manfred even tried to spin it as being a COVID-19 protocol disagreement when it's never been about that.
No.
So the players came back and responded with this. They said, after watching that interview, they said, quote, players are disgusted that after Rob Manfred unequivocally told players and fans, of course, that there would be 100% a 2020 season, he's decided to go back on his word and is now threatening to cancel the entire season. Any implication that the Players Association has somehow delayed progress on health and safety protocols is completely false, as Rob has recently acknowledged the parties are, quote, very, very close. This latest threat is just one more indication that Major League Baseball has been negotiating in bad faith since the beginning. This has always been about extracting additional pay cuts from the players, and this is just another day and another bad faith tactic in their ongoing campaign. So now there is, I mean, listen, as to be expected, there have been some players on social media who are pissed, but one player who not only is a total douche but also one of the worst rappers of all time, Trevor Bauer, who most of the time stinks at everything, but something he
quite
put on
rapper.
Twitter. What's that?
He's quite a rapper.
Well, I was just saying that. Yep. But yeah. But he also put something on social media yesterday that was retweeted by a bunch of players, something that I thought made a lot of sense about what is really going on here. So he wrote, quote, so, Rob, explain to us how you can be 100% sure that there's going to be baseball, but not confident there will be baseball at the same time. What changed between those statements? Players told you to set the season, but it's too early to set the season right now, isn't it, Rob? Because then you'd have to explain why you're only going to impose 50 games when we could easily play 70-plus right now. The tactic is to bluff with, quote, no season again and delay another 2 to 3 weeks until you clear the risk of, quote, not negotiating in good faith by trying to play as many games as possible. The public backlash combined with potential of having to explain yourself in front of an arbitrator isn't too appealing, is it? Let's see. The way I have it figured out is if you want to play between 50 and 60 games, you can't make it 50 because that would be too obvious to everyone that you were trying to do that. And no one would think that it was, quote, representative of a season, so you'd risk not getting your precious playoff money. Nope, you can't have that. So you got to make it more than that, but not too many. You've got as high as about 55 games full prorated salary, so probably settle somewhere around there, potentially a couple of games higher than that to throw people off your scent. Isn't that right, Rob? So in that scenario, let's see. September 27 end date to project TV playoff schedules, 60-ish games, going to have to be at least 4 off days in there, so that's 64 games, plus about 20 for spring training, 84 days. September 27th, that's 84, that's July 5th, plus about a week to get players back to spring training, so tack on another 7, and that takes us to June 28th. As I have it figured, that's your deadline. But today is June 15th, so how do you delay it another 13 days? And I guess we got that answer today. Threaten to cancel the season, threaten arbitration, threaten grievances, all the while hold the fans for ransom, hold the future of the game for ransom. Nobody believes your bluff. I thought that is dead on.
Someone talked to their agent.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. And he's right. Someone,
but there's no way he, like, came up with all
that. Oh, no. He was like, I know what's going on. He was watching TV. Aha!
Because that guy couldn't have a job pumping gas.
Exactly.
I mean, that guy is truly stupid.
Well, Fred, let's go to...
God bless his arm.
You can see the part where his agent stopped talking and he did, because immediately after that he wrote, "You're holding a losing hand, bud. Unfortunately, it's a losing hand for everyone, not just you. There's a saying about not killing the goose that lays the golden eggs. Check it out in the old Google machine. It's worth knowing."
Yeah, he got
too
hot.
Exactly like that. It sounds like the previous three paragraphs.
Yeah, so what happened is his agent wrote out something for him to tweet, and then he started getting all this positive feedback.
And he had to add his own little Bauer voice in there.
Right, and if you keep giving a dog, treats, they're going to start drooling and think, well, if I sit again, you're going to give me more. Yeah. So he's like, ooh, look at this. Everyone thinks I'm real smart.
I saw that. I was just like, well, I know where one writer stopped and another one started.
Yeah, he's like, let me get this straight. So you're going to do 50 games, but that's too obvious. So where does that take us? And then you talk to him, and he's like, durr.
But he's right, or his agent is right. That's exactly what they're doing, because that's the whole good faith part that he's talking about, is that in the contract, the owners agreed that they would play as many games as possible. And saying 50 games is not that. You could fit in over 70 games right now, and it would still end by the end of October, which is the deadline that everyone's been talking about. So he's right. They're doing more to just stall. And it sounds like, because the players have told him, tell us when to play. Tell us when and where. And because they're calling their bluff right now, because they know that they don't want to pay them 70 games worth. They want to just pay them for the 50 or so, or the 60, I guess, that he ended up equaled out to be. But I mean, that's the essence of it. But you're right, Fred. Rob Manfred, how is he going to survive this? I don't know if he can. I mean, the way he's handled himself, not just like last night, because last night was a disaster, but up to this point, how you can't get this worked out is an embarrassment, when every other league seems to have figured at least something out.
See, here's the thing, and ever since Bud Selig became the commissioner of this league, the commissioner has been a puppet for the owners. As long as Rob Manfred delivers what the owners really want, regardless of how it looks. And remember, things look bad for Roger Goodell for a while, but he's still employed. His company is still making money. If the owners manage to break the union, which, by the way, is their only objective here, if the owners manage to break the union, then Rob Manfred keeps his job. It doesn't look good now, but ultimately, if Major League Baseball begins to limit spending and salaries come down, and you can bet your ass the owners are going to cry poor next year during free agency, then Manfred has won, and he has done exactly what the owners want. Originally, the commissioner was supposed to be a neutral third party to save the game from itself, but the owners decided they wanted one of their own in there, which is why Bud Selig became commissioner in the 90s, and the game has been horrible at times because of it, because there's no neutral party in this. The owners have the hammer, and they continue to use it.
If I'm an owner, though, I'm watching this PR nightmare, and I'm thinking, we got to get a guy in there that at least can handle the media and handle this. He's so clumsy and dumb.
But here's the thing, and it's never been more apparent to me, and I'm stupid. It takes me a while to figure this kind of stuff out. But last night, watching him on TV when Rich texted me, I don't think the owners care. I don't think the owners care about you. I don't think the owners care about me. I don't think they care about public perception. What they care about is money, and all the other stuff is dressed up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the owners, do you really think the ticket prices are going to go down next year after this? No, they're not.
Certainly at Fenway.
No, yeah, right. I mean, do you really think that a $40 bleacher seat is going to be worth less than $40 in 2021 or any time beyond that? I mean, and things are different now, and the owners don't see that, or they don't care, because they assume that the media and the fans are sheep and they will continue to cover the game and go to the game like they have before. No, next summer, don't worry about it. We're going to be the only game in town next summer. Even if we don't have a season or we have a 54-game season, fans will still come back. Unfortunately for them, fans have found different things to do this summer because of the pandemic. They've found different ways to amuse themselves. And I don't think, or I hope, that fans turn their backs on this game to really slap the owners in the face and go, you know what? You're not God. We don't need to spend money. We don't need to battle an hour and a half worth of traffic and leave our jobs at 2:30 in the afternoon to come into town to spend $500 for a family of four for a home game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that they're in very, very much, they should be concerned about the way people are perceiving the game, because here in Boston, I mean, the Red Sox are going to, you know, even though they have had troubles in the playoffs, and I've been at games where tickets were being sold on third parties for less than face value, but, you know, there's markets where people are just going to go, screw it. I mean, like St. Louis and Chicago and, you know, the Cubs and, you know, the Red Sox will be fine. But, I mean, think of all the markets where, you know, you spend all this money on free agents and you're sitting there and people just are going to be disinterested.
There's not enough money. There's not as much money to be tossed around now as there was before. And we talk, one out of every six people in this country are unemployed. 40 million new people are unemployed in the last 3 months.
Right.
A lot of them live here. So, I mean, if the Red Sox are really going to say it's going to cost you $40 for a bleacher seat, can you really justify that considering how you've been out of a job for a long period of time? And by the way, when the world gets back to normal, it's not as though all companies are going to re-expand their workforce. Jobs are still going to be tough to come by. So if you get to July or August and the Red Sox are actually trying to charge the same amount of money for tickets, and don't forget the $50 of parking next to Fenway for a Yankee game and $30 on a regular day, I mean, how can you justify that? How can the Red Sox justify that? Even if they figure this thing out, the game should be in trouble. I mean, there just isn't the amount of money to be spent that there was before.
I know. And by the way, if you want to read a good article about the consequences of these businesses shutting down, the New York Times on Sunday had a very thorough story about a bar in Oakland and just a small bar and the consequences of them shutting down.
Sure.
And how people were, you know, having an incredible amount of time, hardships, you know, getting money from the government and da-da-da-da. So read that, and you can see the financial implications of even a small business shutting down. All right, Rich, what are we going to have coming up?
It was Night of the Speaking Commissioners. We have updates, kind of, from the NHL and Roger Goodell. He is the bastion of all things good and truth. We will tell you why.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, go. Whatever band this is, they're just rolling around.
That's the Siegs, man.
Detroit,
that's
baby.
Siegs.
Motown, baby. This is just the sound of wheels and turning. Planet churning. All right, Rich. Now, it is odd, but if you were a betting man right now, first of all, basketball is going to be played. But I'm just saying is that hockey just seems to be rolling right around. For better or worse, and I understand there are different issues when it comes to the NBA, and because there's, you know, social issues that people are dealing with that is not the case for the most part in hockey, but no one's really saying anything, and it's just kind of rolling around.
Speaking my language, Fred.
Yeah, it just seems like it's going to happen, and everyone's just content.
Is it? I mean, is it? It's like, I mean,
yes, it's going to happen. The Bruins are going to play in Vegas, and then the West Coast teams are either going to play in Toronto or Columbus. And
then why won't they just tell us that? So last
because they want to play in Toronto. All right, here's why. It's because Trudeau, and if he wants to get reelected, he better stop screwing around with this, wants a 14-day quarantine for everyone that goes into Canada. And the league's like, dude, come on. Just us go. Like, yeah, like, we want to play in Toronto. Can you do this for us? But the league has apparently they found the conditions that they want are, and the players, listen to all the players want. the only thing but other than money and everything else, is that they want they need a, the league wants them to stay in a hotel that doesn't have smoking and doesn't have a casino, and then I guess there's three of them that are downtown or whatever, and then the players came back and said, hey, can you buy out a couple restaurants there for us to eat? And then the league has to be like, yeah, sure, I'll get your restaurant. And then everyone goes, okay. And then they go about their business.
Oh, listen, so, I mean, Guy Fieri's place is over there in Vegas. You know, they can get themselves a knuckle sandwich.
No. Fieri's got to line out the door, pandemic or not. So if you're Fieri, you ain't burning money.
That 14-day quarantine thing is BS because the players in the NBA have to 14-day quarantine. Like, every league is doing a 14-day quarantine. So, I mean, if that's not an issue. And I don't – once again, they can just do that. Okay, you're coming to Canada, 14-day quarantine before you get started.
Come early.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
how about you work
again,
out early?
There's no reason to not have dates.
There is some – well, they won Toronto, but there is – I thought it was the quarantine. But it might even be a longer quarantine or something else. But they want to play in Toronto, and there is Trudeau has put something out there that makes it very difficult to do that.
Well, then do it in Columbus.
We're a major sports league. We want to dump a bunch of money into a major Canadian city.
Right.
Maybe cut us a break.
I mean, listen, when you are the face of everything beautiful and lovely in the world, as Trudeau was for about a year, you know, maybe you start feeling a little powerful because you're the Prime Minister of Canada, and normally you're just some schlub. But now, all of a sudden, like, hey, you know, I got a little bit of power. All right, Rich, what did we hear yesterday?
I mean, last night, okay, so yesterday it was teased that, of course, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman was going to go on ESPN and finally give us all the details of the upcoming NHL season. And you knew Gary Bettman was the commissioner of hockey because someone found a street hockey net to put behind him as he sat in his flower garden.
Of all the networks to announce anything on if you're the NHL.
Did you see that?
Seriously.
He's sitting there, like, he's like outdoors in his like garden, you could tell, and someone's just, quick, get a street hockey net so people know immediately that this guy's with hockey.
It's like the host of Horse, Mark Jones, where he put like a those two ghetto uniforms behind him.
He just like put two tacked up uniforms, and it was like, what players were they either? It was like random players. It was so just thrown. It was so ESPN when it came to hockey last night. But all right, so we're gonna get all the deets. This is what we've been told. Here come the details. What say you, Commissioner? Clip.
When we began the process of focusing on coming back, we were really focused on two health issues. The first was obviously COVID-19. And again, we're going to rely on the professionals who are telling us, including Dr. Fauci, that this is something that we can do and we can do it safely. And secondly, for a lot of our players, this is the longest they've ever gone without skating. And we determined, again, jointly with the players, that in order to move forward, our players had to get back into game-ready shape, and we didn't want to rush them along, which is why we've been very flexible on the dating from when we first announced our return to play plan.
Okay, hang on. First of all, we're past all that, all right? We don't need to talk about it. Second of all, Gary Bettman went on ESPN and still didn't give us any info about when hockey is going to start or in what cities, and he wasn't even pressed on it. Nice job there, Greenberg. Way to go.
ESPN doesn't care. They don't care. They just needed to round out the top. They just needed to make sure he was there to round out the four.
He was there to talk to Manfred, and then everything else was just window dressing.
He doesn't care. You think ESPN cares about when hockey comes back?
You're not going to ask when and where?
Correct. Like, That's exactly right.
The two biggest questions?
Nope.
They don't care. Nobody's got a problem with the NHL's health protocols. Everyone seems to be in agreement. They're Canadian. But that part of it, the dates and where it's going to be, no one seems to have any idea.
They do. The Las Vegas paper announced that the Bruins are going to be playing in Vegas. But the way that it probably was for Greenberg is that it's like having the Manfred was like having sex with a vintage Christie Brinkley, and then you get to the NHL and it's Rosie O'Donnell sitting there with her head in her hand and on her elbow going, come here, sailor. And so at the end, you're just like, get this over with.
And Fred, it was like that. It was like a 1-2 punch yesterday because I just learned yesterday that David Pasternak isn't even back in America yet.
No.
He's still in Prague, mm-hmm. and he didn't even specify when he was going to come back. It was just, I'm going to try to get back pretty soon. I'm like, all right, even if the NHL is trying to get things ramped up, he's not even here yet.
It does. So, I mean, he can come. I mean, he can come whenever he wants. So, yeah, he's skating. He's skating with, I believe, 11 other players in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an issue. The NHL is going to be fine. They're not giving out dates, I truly believe, because they want to play in Canada, and there's some kind of shenanigans that they need the Canadian government to clear up. But they are going to play hockey. They will. They're in a different situation because... You know, they played the vast majority of their season. They're going to have a full playoff. They're going to play. That I can tell you. And they're playing, and the Eastern Conference teams are playing in Vegas.
Pasternak, what are you going to do when you get back to America? The very first thing you're going to do, Mr. Pasternak, clip.
I don't know. Get tested for COVID.
Okay. He's going to get tested Thanks. For COVID. Thanks.
Thanks.
Everyone thought that was like the great, like, wow. How about that? And you're like, yeah.
I don't know. Get tested for COVID.
Oh, that's nice. Do you? I don't think you're going to have it, Pasternak.
I don't have the clip.
Thanks.
My computer. Yeah,
okay, there you go. All right. Well, by the way, I get tested for COVID, I found out.
Thanks.
That's right. I will because I'm getting a colonoscopy.
But are you going to get an antibody test or just a COVID test?
No, just the COVID test. I would like the antibody test, but I'm just getting the COVID test so they make sure you don't have it so you can get the old...
Monopoly?
Yes, the Monopoly test.
So, David, I am looking to make sure I have a clean colon. What do you think?
Thanks.
Thank you. I'm glad you've taken such an interest in my insides. I'm glad Thanks. You took such a... Okay.
I'm not in control of the clips right now. My sound clip machine is...
I'm a little slow on the uptake there, Fred. Sorry. Quick as Rich on the draw, you know?
I've got that spot memorized on my keypad, Fred. It's like I can do it with my eyes closed. But
Thanks.
It's not where... Yeah, I appreciate it there, David Pasternak. All right. Well, Roger Goodell, he also spoke yesterday because all the commissioners had to say something about some things. And he was like, you know what? I got a great idea. And I'm the one who thought of this. Maybe you guys, someone out there, should sign Colin Kaepernick and do me a solid clip.
If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that. If his efforts are not on the field, but and continuing to work in this space, we welcome to that table and to be able to help us, guide us, and help us make better decisions about the kinds of things that need to be done in communities.
We've always loved and respected the opinions of black players.
Right, exactly. He was all behind Kaepernick. It's amazing when people start speaking their minds how quickly things shift. But, you know.
Just forget everything that's happened in the last four years.
Exactly.
He's a good friend of mine. Give him a job.
Remember what Breer said, though, with the Michael Sam thing? And if you recall, for the audience, Michael Sam was an openly gay player. Who was a standout linebacker in college, but he wasn't really a pro prospect. So I believe it was the Titans that, you know, took a flyer on him in the seventh round. And Breer said, you know.
Yeah, it was the Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And so in doing a solid, basically, for Roger Goodell, and first of all, Goodell hedged it all by saying, you know, maybe he can come in and work in a different capacity. But I'm sure if Goodell had his choice, someone would pick him up and just put him in uniform and have him around. And they can get a picture of him kneeling again, and that would be the greatest thing in the world for them. But, yeah, he hedged it with getting him involved in some capacity, which if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I don't know if that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, you don't want to use as a pawn.
Right. I don't, and also, I don't know if that's the best use of my time if I'm going to be an activist. But there you go. All right. We will be back in just a moment. And at 7 o'clock, we'll take you to the halls of Bayside.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's up?
Okay, I'm sure you guys talked about this yesterday. This is kind of day-old news, but the reaction to it has been fantastic, and that is what's been going on with the NBA. We're all, I think everyone realizes there is going to be a season. Right. And what's kind of become up into the forefront, and that is because a bunch of players have actually said this, is that, to be honest, whatever LeBron James wants to do, that's what's going to happen. Right. He runs the NBA right now, and if LeBron James wants a season, there's going to be a season. Now, there are some players who don't really like it that way, but I think a majority of the players still want there to be one. Now, we all know what happened with Kyrie Irving, and, you know, I know Dwight Howard has spoken out, and there's been a bunch of, I mean, I'm sure you guys talked
Dwight
about
Howard
this
spoke
yesterday.
Out. Everyone back
we talked
up.
About it quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah. but the reaction from other players has just been great. And one of my favorite commentators when it comes to all things NBA lately has been Kendrick Perkins. And what do we know about Kendrick Perkins? He hates Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, what did he say during that one broadcast where he talked about Kyrie? He goes, every time I think about Kyrie Irving, I want to throw open my mouth. He didn't want to be insulting. So let's listen to what Kendrick Perkins had to say about Kyrie Irving in his mind trying to torpedo the postseason. Clip.
First of all, he's not a powerful voice. He's a popular voice. You know, powerful, you're actually moving the needle. No one's listening to Kyrie. The NBA is going to continue. All he's doing is causing unnecessary drama right now between the NBA brothers that we don't need right now.
I love that. Nobody's listening to him. No matter what he says, he's a big voice, but not a powerful voice.
Yeah,
he doesn't
so popular. Popular voice, popular, but not a powerful voice.
Yeah, like Mannix was telling us yesterday that, like, Kyrie... younger players, for some reason, like listening to him and whatever, but the point is moot, like you said. You know, if LeBron James wants to play, and LeBron James also, rightly so, and we can criticize him, and we do in several ways, but I mean, he has been philanthropic, and he has spoken out on issues, and he believes, he A, wants to play, and B, believes that his voice is best heard if they're playing.
Well,
which
Barkley made a great – and you're right, because Charles Barkley made a really good point about that, about how you're just shooting yourself in the foot if you don't take this chance to be seen. Here's Charles Barkley. Go. Dan, do you have Barkley?
Yeah, he's got to be taking a chance.
Dan,
I think it would be stupid to not play for two reasons. Number one, if they don't play, they're going to be out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the year. There won't be no cameras following. And, you know, LeBron is probably the most famous athlete in the United States. He won't be visible anywhere. And so us out of sight, out of mind. Also, these guys got to realize this money going to come back, and they're going to lose billions of dollars that the players could use to go into their own communities and do some great stuff. I have no idea what Kyrie and Dwight are talking about, but it'll be a catastrophic mistake not to play.
Yeah, and then not to mention the thousands of jobs that are connected to all of this. Yeah, there's ripping up the players.
You lose $1.2 billion by not playing, and then the NBA reopens the CBA and crushes you in the next labor negotiations. And Mark Spears, who we had on the program when he worked for Yahoo, he now works for The Undefeated, had a great article last night where he said, you can use this. People will see this. You can wear Black Lives Matter warm-ups.
You can talk to an international audience every day.
Every night there's a microphone in front of your face.
You can have the NBA put the NBA put Black Lives Matter on the baseline during the game. You can put it in the NBA 2K game, and there are so many other ways that you can use this.
Yes.
But if you don't play, you screw yourself in a couple of different ways.
John, did you and Fred, did you hear Matt Barnes? I think we have the clip. Dan, can you find it's Barnes today's date?
Don't say that name.
Yeah, I know. I know that gives you
$30,000 comes out of my wallet.
Matt Barnes says that there's a different reason he believes Kyrie Irving is acting the way he is. All right, play the clip.
So we can't let this go. Like LeBron and CP, Kyrie needs to quit bullshit, because what I heard was Kyrie wanted to go to Orlando to support his team. They didn't let him. So then he flipped the script talking about, I'm going to give up everything. Bro, you can give up everything and go do the Meyer Moore shit if you really want to. But at the same time, sitting out without a cause or a purpose, it defeats the purpose. And then it also divides us. You know what I mean? So they all got to get on the same page. And I respect people don't want to play because if it's COVID and you're putting your family at risk, I get that. But if it's for the movement of the country right now, we have to take charge of this shit.
Yeah, so,
well,
so
obviously said, that was on ESPN.
So he said that Kyrie wanted to go to Orlando to support the team, and when he couldn't, he made it about the cause. And by the way, Kyrie Irving voted on June 5th to approve this plan.
Yeah, I know we talked about that.
So
he was on a conference call, said he couldn't wait to go to Orlando and support everyone, and then 10 days later, or less than 10
said,
days
you can't
later.
Go.
No, we all should sit out.
There is a bit of a hypocrisy going on there. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.